It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Ready for a joke? More importantly, ready for the joke man. Well, he's here. Jackie the Joke Man Martling is headlining in the A-Stars Comedy Show at the Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, October 10th through the 12th. For ticket information, go to ahernhotel.com. And for everything about Jackie, you got to go to jokeland.com. And you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube, and Cameo, and we'll get into that as well. Jackie, welcome back to the show.
It is so nice to be here. I'm excited to come back. I've been to Las Vegas in, I guess, a couple years. I was at the Plaza Hotel. I'm getting old. I don't know whether it was last year or 5 years ago, and I honestly don't know. I just know I had a great time, and I always enjoy Las Vegas. I got a lot of friends there, and the audiences are always great. And I love, there's nothing better for a comic than an elevator gig. And that's when you're staying in a hotel, and to get to the showroom, you just come down or go up in the elevator instead of getting a car and hauling your ass to the gig. And, you know.
Well, Jackie, you're a swimmer. You should go down the stairs instead of the elevator. What do you think?
I can do anything. Okay. You know, in the old days, it was perfect for dragging a girl back to your hotel room, but I got to tell you, I'm not sure that ever happened, but it was available. It was an available possibility. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I understand. You know, it's funny because you are so, in a way, East Coast, and yet at the same time, you are so Las Vegas. You've been coming to Las Vegas and performing here for so many decades.
Long time. You know, I used to headline at the Top of the Rib, and I was booked by Steve Sciarippa, who became, you know, one of the big stars on The Sopranos. And already that's a long time ago. So the decades just fly. But luckily, I don't get any older. But time does fly by.
Yeah, and Steve is still working hard, starring in the world famous police drama. So, yeah.
Yeah, Blue Bloods. They shot it last year, the last episode of the season. They shot about half of it here at my home. So that's... You know, it all comes around. It all comes around.
You know, I was surprised that you haven't had more acting gigs in terms of some of these shows. Blue Bloods would be one, but there's so many others that I could see you fitting in very nicely.
You know, they just came to shoot here. There's a new show called The Better Sister, which is based on a novel that came out like a year ago. And everybody in my family's read it. I never read anything. But they came to shoot here, and the showrunner, who's also the writer, came up to me and said, Jackie, my whole family was such big fans. I just had to say hello. And it was Olivia Milch, whose father's David Milch, who did Deadwood and all kinds of stuff. And she said, do you do acting anymore? And I said, nobody calls, but I would love to. So she gave me a role. So I speak of the devil. I have a role in this show, The Better Sister. And I play a bar owner, and it was really fun. You know, it's not a huge role. You know, I'm not cleaning the spot on my mantle for my Emmy. I mean, I might do that just to be funny, but it's still fun, and you get to go to the rap party. It's a whole big deal. So thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I because when you mentioned they were filming at the house, and I thought, well, yeah, Jackie could get a part there, but also just in general, I could see you doing character parts. Small, unique character parts in various TV shows, movies, etc.
It always made me crazy that they don't call me, because number one, anything I do, they know that even if he's going to rip me apart, Howard's going to talk about it. And that's going to create X amount of people tuning in even to hate me. And I have a decent personality and a good laugh. There's no downside, you know,
but
they just don't call. So all you producers out there, get off your ass and call me up. I'm ready. I'll try and fit you in my schedule.
And come see him at the Ahern, October 10th through the 12th, and that way. And also, you know what you could do is maybe you could audition through Cameo. I wanted to talk to you a little about Cameo, because that's an unusual media platform, and it's worked very well for a lot of people.
It is. For me, it's perfect. I've done, I don't know, 800 or 1,000 of them, whatever it is, but I've got like 200 five-star reviews, and you can actually see probably my most recent 50. I don't know how many they leave on the website, but it's cameo.com/Jackie Martling. But I was made to do this. Somebody says, oh, Jackie, my uncle's your biggest fan. He's a Jewish guy. He likes to make fun of. He's overweight. He divorced his wife. He loves poop jokes. And I can just go down the bullet list of everything they mentioned and hit every bullet. And the people are like, whoa. That's like, and you're supposed to do like 2 minutes. And I usually make them 4 or 5 minutes. But it's not like for any reason, except once I get going, you can't shut me up. I love doing them. You know, they're really fun. And the people and the compliments are just wonderful. I had one guy do me, I did a cameo for them to play at his wake. I've got a list of about 10 different things that you wouldn't believe. You know, I want to do a surprise one for my ex-wife, and I want one to play when I get engaged. And, you know, and my brother, I haven't spoken to my brother in 10 years. I want you to roast him. I'm like, well, that's, how's that going to help? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Are you surprised though that you wouldn't have thought this 30 years ago, there'd be this technology and this social media platform that you could do this? So for you, it's, you have like, I always thought of you as a cat with 9 lives, maybe 10. And you, what I mean by that in a very positive way is that you go from one thing to another, and people think that you're not there, but you are there. And now you're doing this, and now you're doing that.
So, you know, I'm just lucky. You know, the internet just came to life, and then, you know, but there's just so many ways. You know, I post jokes on TikTok, or at least I did for a long time. And I used to post a joke every day on Twitter for about 10 years. You know, but eventually, you know, I'm no spring chicken, so I'm not going to break my chops and put something out every 2 minutes and TikTok this and TikTok. You know, I put my gigs up there on Facebook and Twitter and X or whatever it's called and Instagram. And then people come out and, you know, and that's the fun. That's the fun for me. As long as they're coming out, I don't need to have a whole presence and a, you know, I have so many club owners. I get so mad. I'm like, why are you yelling at me? They're like, I had a guy here last week. He had 12 million TikTok viewers. And I paid him all this money. And he didn't get one laugh. I'm like, why are you telling me? We had to break our balls in the clubs and go through all the years of harassment and honing our craft so we could make sure we got laugh after laugh after laugh. And these idiots put up, you know, a 30-second TikTok, and all of a sudden the whole world watches, and these club owners are hiring them. And I go, what's wrong with you? You know, and then they do it again, you know. Oh, this girl had 20 million people following her on Twitter. And then she comes in and say, no, you're facing the wrong way.
Yeah, well, she's an influencer rather than a comedian. So there's the difference.
I still don't understand any of that nomenclature.
I know, but I've got a new title for you, Jackie. Jackie, the uninfluencer Martling. And that way you could run counter to all of that, which you do.
No, I have always been a bad influence. You can ask any of the parents of my friends.
What makes you laugh these days? Is it the same that made you laugh 10 years ago, 20 years ago, et cetera?
You know what makes me laugh? And I should be ashamed to say it, but my damn act makes me laugh. I just worked Friday night, and I laughed as hard at those stupid jokes as I did in 1950. You know, I just get such a kick out of them, and I just do not get a kick out of, you know, I you don't want a bad mouth, but there's so many, you know, this guy got an HBO special, and this person has a Amazon Prime special, and they do this whole thing on, and it's produced, and it's nice. But they leave out the part about making people laugh.
Yeah,
people say, oh, Jackie, you just do those stupid jokes. Like, yeah, but they laugh their balls off for an hour. People come up to me and say they never laugh that hard for an hour. I don't care if it's stupid jokes. That's what I do. Our first assignment is to make the people laugh. People will say, well, you didn't write those jokes. I say, When somebody gets up on stage and does Hamlet, nobody stands up and says, you didn't write this shit. It's performance. It's all about performance. Somebody does a great job doing Hamlet, he gets a standing ovation. You know, it's like, it's the way you present it. And I just love it. You know, and the little old ladies, you know, I did work the night and I sold like a couple of $1,000 worth of books. And these little old ladies, I'm like, honey, was it too dirty? Oh, no, it's not a dirty joke. It's so fucking funny, you know. I mean, there are people that don't like jokes. But if you don't like jokes, don't come see me. If you don't like the opera, if you don't like the opera, you don't go to the opera. Jackie the Joke Man, he just told jokes all that. Well, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, don't let me get on the soapbox, opera.
That's all right. I like it. Jackie the Joke Man marveling in Aida, the opera, that would work out very well. You see that now. So I forgot to ask you.
Well, I'll eat her as long as she washes.
Okay, fair enough. The is the answering machine still working?
516-922-WINE. 516-922-WINE. It's been going since 1979. I used it to help start comedy, to promote comedy, but to jumpstart comedy on Long Island. I got a phone line and put dirty jokes on it and put advertising on it. And people say, oh, you must have made so much money. It has cost me a fortune for 45 years, but I can't take it down. You know, at one point, Rick Dees told his audience in Los Angeles that 516-922-9463 was Tom Selleck's home phone number. And then I had 10 lines at the time and they exploded. It was, you know, it's just such a fun. And you know what? Now it's just one line. But I love when somebody comes up and says, you know, 30 years ago, I called that stupid joke line. I said, well, take out your cell phone and dial it. They do. And they hear me. And they're like, whoa, you know. It doesn't take much to get me off nowadays, Ira.
Well, you got to donate that line to the Smithsonian when you're ready. So
I'm sure if I called them up, they'd say, excuse me, I'm on the phone calling dial a joke. You know?
I just thought of something with Cameo, too. Have you thought about doing a Cameo for your own wake? In preparation, not that you're ready to go yet.
I am not gonna die. You didn't get the memo?
I didn't get the memo. No. Sorry.
I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere.
No, that's good. Oh, nobody wants you to go anywhere. How often on the Cameo when they request something? In fact, I hope I'll send you some money. You can do a Cameo for my bar mitzvah, which that's a joke, but it's a bad one. But okay.
But I have done them. I've done them for bar mitzvahs. I've done them for, you know.
Weddings,
people, you know, my wife passed away and I'm so happy with, you know, wow. There's very few that I've turned down. Only ones I've turned down have been the ones, you know, where people are really digging into my ass about something on the Stern Show I didn't like or being hurtful to somebody else. You know, I'm all about the laugh, not about being mean, you know.
Right. No, it makes perfect sense. When you first started out, was there one comedian that influenced you? I don't think I've ever asked you that question before. Was there one, just even growing up?
I wasn't a comic. I had no intention of ever being a comedian. I played music and wrote songs, and that was my dream. Right. I never got anywhere because I wasn't any good, but my heart and soul was in it. But I always really loved Rodney because I've always been about jokes since I was a little kid. Jokes, jokes, jokes. I told jokes to everybody. If anybody's standing still, I went up and told them a joke. So, of course, with Rodney Dangerfield on The Tonight Show and on The Dean Martin Show, he was all about jokes and make people laugh. And same as Henny Youngman, you know, and I loved anything that was fun. I loved watching Red Skelton because he got such a kick out of the whole thing. I mean, I listened to Robert Klein, I listened to George Carlin, I listened to those records, but you listen to them one and put them on once and you put them on the shelf. Right. I wasn't somebody who studied those records to be a comic. And then I stumbled into it. You know, I gave up on music and started doing my dirty jokes on stage. And all of a sudden we created a scene on Long Island and people laughed at the dirty jokes and I never looked back. And then the next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire, you know, like, I stumbled into Howard and, you know, it all sounds lucky, but luck favors the prepared. You know what I mean? Right. And I just found my way through the maze and it was just wonderful. And yeah, I'm still out telling those same stupid jokes, and I'm still loving it, you know.
The one thing I noticed about you, there's a dichotomy between your performance with the jokes and your writing, which is writing on, in terms of the Howard Stern Show and others, writing on the fly. And it's two different skill sets.
They have nothing to do with each other except from telling jokes and repeating them and honing them down in your mind. I got to where I have a very crisp, quick sense of humor, and I could take A and B and make them into C. In all the years, in 18 years for Howard, I never handed him a joke. Everything I handed him was a comment or an idea to move on to something different or to break somebody's chops. And my act was 180 degrees to that. My act is just joke after joke after joke. But it makes your mind think funny. So I know what's, you know, if I'm in a group of people and we're standing around, I'm usually pretty funny. You know, I'm pretty quick and I can come up with something funny to make people laugh. And all of a sudden I'm sitting on the radio show. But instead of saying it myself, I write it down and put it in front of him. So he's the funny guy. And it worked like a charm. It was seamless. You know, it was just great, great fun. It was, but it was apples and oranges, you know. I was a coach during the daytime and I was a pitcher at nighttime.
Yeah.
It was that crazy.
I always was amazed at that you had that dichotomy between the joke telling, which is, as you like to say, old dirty jokes, and here you're writing on the fly extemporaneously about what's happening in the moment. It's two different
things. Yeah,
that was
a comedian's dream. You know, like if you're in a movie and you have a funny line, maybe the movie's going to come out in a year and maybe it's going to get a laugh, you know. And if you're on, if you're doing comedy, maybe you're going to write something for your act and perform it that night, and hopefully it's going to get a laugh. But I'm sitting there and I'm writing something and putting it in front of Howard. And like 5 or 10 seconds later, literally millions of people are laughing. And you just can't wrap your head around that. It's so crazy. Like when I would be driving along the expressway when I was on vacation or we had a day off and they were playing Best Of, and I'd be driving along and I'd see the people in their cars and just see them laughing. And I knew that they were laughing at the show. And it made New York such a small town. And then it made the United States a small little hamlet because everybody was connected by that stupid show and the stupid jokes. And they all knew it, you know, that people come up and just start talking to me and address me as Jackie. They feel like they know me.
Sure.
Because they spent so much time listening to the show, whether at work or in the car or whatever. Everybody was part of a big family. Not to be too maudlin about the whole thing, you know.
No, yeah, I get you. Yeah, I just so people know who are listening, the people who are watching can see you. But I'm actually talking with the Jackie puppet rather than Jackie Martlin. Just want to say that for the record. You know?
I agree.
Yeah, but was that in a way? Do people on Cameo, is one of your major requests for you to include a laugh in the presentation?
No, because I do. I can't tell a joke without laughing. I can't tell a joke without giggling and breaking somebody's balls. I mean, they don't have to tell me to laugh. I just do. And I make the stupid noises because they're inherent to me. For years, I didn't even know I made those noises until Fred Norris, the other writer on the show, pointed it out. He'd make these silly noises. And one day I said, Fred, what the hell are those noises you make? He said, that's you. And then I listened to myself on stage. I said, Jesus Christ, that's you. You know, all that stuff. You know, but it's part of the presentation. It was never like, you know what, maybe if I do this, they'll laugh. You know, it was just like, you know, I used to tell jokes to the pantry man at a country club where I worked all through high school. And he was just absolutely rigid. And he didn't laugh at anything. He had fought in the French Foreign Legion, and he was a Dutch soldier, and he was the pantry man, and nothing made him laugh. And I would tell him joke after joke, and he would never laugh. And the more he didn't laugh, the more I did laugh. So sometimes I wonder if when I'm laughing at my jokes, am I still laughing at Jake? Not laughing at my jokes, you know. But you don't need to go that deep. You know, if it works, it works. Fuck it. You know.
Well, the other thing, too, if you think about this, your laugh has been somewhat institutionalized. And I mean that in a positive way, that people, that's such a trademark of yours that people recognize it. They don't even have to see you. If they hear it and they're 20 feet away, they go, wait a minute, that's Jackie.
You know, and it's so funny. I get, you know, I don't get a million emails, but I get a lot of them. That's another thing. Anybody that ever wants to email me, jokeland@AOL.com. I have somebody that answers my email, me. And my email is jokeland, jokeland@AOL.com. I have always answered every email. And people, the most common email or Twitter is Jackie. Every time I hear the news, I can hear your laugh. And not necessarily Robin's. If they just listen to the news on the radio, they hear me laughing. It's like, it's flattering. It's ridiculous, you know, but it's fun, you know.
I think you're the only personality I know of that personally answers their email. And you've done it forever.
I really do. And I meet just incredible people. Just reaching out and connecting. I mean, I sent jokes blind to Rodney Dangerfield, and I wound up writing jokes for him. I sent a letter blind to France. I wound up being pen pals with this guy, Gershon Legman, who's the world's foremost, he was the world's foremost authority on dirty jokes. And they talk about him in the movie, The Aristocrats. And I sent my albums blind to Howard Stern. And he called me up, and I sent jokes blind to Willie Nelson, and he emailed me. I mean, I just have all these connections that you just send it out there. Who cares? Maybe it'll go nowhere, and maybe maybe it will, maybe it won't. And it's amazing the amount of connections I've made, and so many people. I'm like 76 years old, and I've met a lot of people over the years, and people hear me on one of these shows like yours, and they email me like, holy Christ, Jackie, where you been since 1954? I'm right here. What do you mean? Where am I going? You know.
Did you ever send anything blind to Ray Charles?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
He wrote back, that's not funny.
Yes, I thought that's what he would do.
Well, I think he wrote that. It was in Braille. I couldn't read it. So.
When you wake up in the morning, Jackie, does your mind go immediately into gear? You talked about how knowing all those jokes helped you with the writing side of things.
No. I'm just another dull son of a bitch, you know. I wake up, until I have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, I'm an ornery bastard. But I live on the water. So I usually get up, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. And before I can even think, I'm out to the outdoor shower, put on my bathing suit. I go down and I swim really far and come back and take a nice hot outdoor shower and then climb back in bed. And my girlfriend brings us tea, and which is the greatest way to start a day. You know, it makes me, I'm 76, but it makes me feel 72.
Well, I would imagine your idea of commuting isn't the same as it was, say, 20 years ago. In other words, if you're going to go and do something, it's got to be important because...
No. You know what? I'll drive three or four, like Friday night, I drove 3.5 hours to work at a small theater in Dunellen, New Jersey. But it was great. It was like 200 people. They're packed in. They're fans. When are they going to get to see me in Dunellen, New Jersey? And they were so thrilled, and I sold so many books and took so many pictures. One couple, and this is so funny, they brought me a dozen red roses. And I said, I've been doing this 45 years. Nobody has ever brought me roses. And the guy put on Twitter, he put a picture of him and his girlfriend and me holding the flowers. And he wrote, Jackie, maybe in another 45 years, you'll get some more flowers, which is so fun. But I drive like that. 2 weeks ago, I flew to Clearwater, Florida to do one show at a sports bar, Mug's Grill in Clearwater, Florida. But they loved the show. I made some decent money, and it's fun to get on a plane and just go cruising. Luckily, I was there the week before the storm. Jesus Christ.
You know? Yeah, your timing was good.
Yeah. You know, which is weird. But, yeah, I go, like going to Vegas, I don't go to Pittsburgh and then to Nashville and then to Atlanta. I haven't done that crap in a long time, I stopped doing that actually before we went full time in the Stern Show. I couldn't take it. And then the Stern Show went big time. And then when I did shows, I would fly to Chicago and headline a few shows, or fly to Las Vegas and headline a few shows. I was never bouncing around, you know. I get done with the show on Friday and fly somewhere for the weekend, which is insane because we're working so hard during the week. But they were waggling money, Ira, that, you know,
you gotta do it.
You work for the money I worked for in the early 80s and they're waggling crazy money, you just go. You don't even ask questions, you just go do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a trip. You know, now I work once a week, twice a month. You know, some weeks I'll work, you know, some months I'll work 10 times and some months I won't work at all, you know.
But
my rule is if the phone rings, I say yes, and then I answer it.
But it seems like you have that nice balance because, as you say, you go out and swim and have a leisurely breakfast, take a nap, et cetera. And then when the alarm goes off, meaning the phone rings and they're offering you money, then you'll say, okay, I'll forsake this for a while and I'll go out to wherever I'm going.
I have been so fortunate because I made a pretty decent amount of money in the Stern Show, but I still maintain my status as a comedian. But I was a comic that slept in his own bed every night almost, except for the few nights I'd be on the road. And, you know, when you're a comedian, either you're on the boats or you're jumping from town to town to town, even when you get big, you know. And I was just blessed to be, you know, some people say you had to be home with your wife, you know, but it was great. I knock on wood, I've been a very, very lucky guy. And I appreciate that. But my favorite thing is getting up on stage and telling the stupid jokes. And I hope Las Vegas comes out to say hello. I worked there so many times, the Riviera, and I went out for a lot of promotions.
Hey, before I let you go, Jackie, thoughts on comedy in general today? Anybody tickle your fancy, as we like to call it?
No, I don't watch anything. I don't watch stand up. You know, like I watched that show Hacks and I really liked some of it and didn't like other parts of it. But then you don't want to be a putz. So I don't even like talking about these. Like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Some of it was great. Some of it wasn't so great. But I'm old. We still go back and watch Mary Tyler Moore and Bob Newhart and just pee our pants, you know. And I still, you know, some nights I'm just in the mood. I'll just put on Seinfeld and watch it until Kramer makes me laugh. And then I turn off the TV and go to bed. You know, I mean, and it's not that they're not funny. I mean, one night I made the mistake of watching a Sarah Silverman special. And she didn't know. It's every single word she said was so funny. I turned off the TV. I said, I got to either quit comedy or sell my television. She was so great. You know,
so did you do either one? Did you quit comedy and sell your television?
I sent her an email and said, I would really love to have sex with you, Sarah, but you'd never go on for it. But, you know, so a lot of the guys are just, you know, it's all outrage and too crazy and politics this and, you know.
You're here for the funny. That's what it is.
I just like the funny, you know.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Jackie the Joke Man Martling. He's headlining in the A-Stars Comedy Show at the Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, October 10th through the 12th. So there's three nights to see Jackie. For ticket information, go to ahernhotel.com. For everything about Jackie, go to jokeland.com. Follow him on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube, and Cameo, and go see the documentary on Amazon Prime, Joke Man.
Yeah, everybody is, the word is getting out about that, and everybody loves it. It's on Amazon Prime, finally. It was a fight to get it up there, but it's called Joke Man, and there's still people finding my book that never found it. It's called The Joke Man, Bow to Stern. A funny story, people like the book and they find out about the book and they read the book. But of course, Howard Stern never, ever mentioned it or alluded to it on his show. And then a couple of years ago, however many years ago, he wrote another book and they sold it on Amazon. And my publisher called me up and said, holy Christ, you're selling so many books. Did you go on TV? What did you do to promote it? I said, I don't know what you told. What happened was if you went on Amazon and bought Howard's book, when you're just about to pay for it, underneath it says, people who bought this book also bought this book. And all of a sudden, there's my book. Oh, I didn't know Jackie had a book. They already got the mouse out. They already got the credit card. Well, one more click, they get my book too. So all of a sudden, the sales went through the roof. I don't even know if he knows how much that helped me.
Well, that's definitely really a great way to leave it. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Ira. Anytime.
Thank you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Yeah, be Las Vegas. Anything you want us to be.